Oh, yeah. I've had a fantastic time. We're getting to the end of our tour now, and I'm really quite sad about it because we've had such a great time.
Well, at least this time around, you've been able to spend a bit of time in the country and get around and possibly even see the place fairly well.
A little bit more this time, but not enough, frankly, because, I mean, this is an amazing country, and I had a few days off in Melbourne, which is always very nice. Not enough time off in Sydney. Quite a little bit of time off in Cairns, but it rained most of the time. and now I'm over on your side of Australia, where the weather is absolutely beautiful, and we're going to have to leave soon.
Where did you get the energy from? Because it seems to me, you know, I was looking through your biography and it almost exhausted me reading it, the number of years that you've been performing and not really having any lull anywhere.
Oh, I had a bit of a lull in the 70s when I decided to just kind of chill out a little bit. And it was a very strange feeling. but listen, I love to sing. My voice is in good shape. People seem to enjoy coming to hear me sing. So really, why should I stop? I love what I do, and I think I'm very fortunate to be doing what I like.
I can remember years ago my mum saying to me, because I'm a product of the 60s, mm-hmm. and being a big fan of Petula Clark as the songs were hits the first time round, I can remember my mum pointing to a girl on television and saying, "That's Petula Clark." And I said, "Don't be ridiculous." And she said, "That is the same Petula Clark who is the big pop star now." Your career started at a very young age.
Yes, I did start pretty young, probably a bit too young. Actually, I started when I was about six, I think, you know, in Wales, because I'm part Welsh. And you know what the Welsh are like, they sing. They're a bit like the Italians, they sing all the time. And then I started singing on the radio when I was about eight. It was during the war in England, and I was singing for the troops, and so was Julie Andrews. You know, it was that kind of time in our lives. And, you know, I've had several different phases in my life. And then, of course, there was the French phase, which is still on now. You know, I've just finished making a new CD in French because I married a Frenchman. I mean, if you're wondering why that all happened.
I know all about Claude Wolf. Yes, I was jealous.
Anyway, and then, of course, Tony Hatch arrived with Downtown, and that was a whole new phase for me. But, you know, I've been on since then. I've done all kinds of things since then. Many songs that people will know, and maybe one or two they don't.
Well, you've got plenty to choose from, that's for sure. You obviously have absorbed something of everything along the way, because, as you said, there's the big French influence, and the French regard you as French, don't they?
They do, actually, yes. Yeah. So there are some people who don't even know that I'm not French. So, you know, that's kind of fun in a way. And when I get back from Australia, I have to go to Paris to do some promotion on the new French CD. And then I go over to London and I start recording a new CD with a whole bunch of people I've never worked with before. And I think that's going to be quite exciting.
I can imagine so. You've appeared in over 30 movies over the years, among the more recent ones like Finnegan's Rainbow and Goodbye, Mr. Chips, were great successes. Did you enjoy doing them?
I did, very much, particularly Finnegan's Rainbow. We did that in L.A., and I don't know why. There was something very free about it. I think that had a lot to do with the director. Oh, that was Francis Ford Coppola, and, of course, Fred Astaire, who was absolutely adorable. I don't know. There was something about that movie that was very joyful to make. Goodbye, Mr. Chips, I enjoyed doing, too, with Peter O'Toole, but it was a different kind of film. And there was something slightly sad about it, because I die at the end of it.
Yes, that's pretty sad.
That's pretty sad.
Do you get to choose what stuff you record over the years? Because you'd have done some glorious things, but they've been in different genres from time to time.
Yes, well, you know, I like to have fun. I like to, you know, variety is the spice of life, and I like to try all different sorts of things. And some of them I've been successful with, and some not so successful. But it's worth a try, you know. I enjoy singing country music from time to time.
Yep.
I actually enjoy singing rock and roll too, you know, and Motown and all that stuff. And then, of course, I've done things like Sunset Boulevard, which is totally different, Andrew Lloyd Webber, that kind of thing. It's all interesting to do.
I know that you were quoted at one stage as saying you were a safe artist, you know, at the time that the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were about. You were reassuring, weren't you?
I think I was, you know, when all that stuff was going on, I was sort of a bit like the big sister, you know, the one who sort of calms everything down. having said that, you know, I was really in the middle of all that rock and roll stuff. You know, let's face it, it was a very special time. The 60s was, it was pretty swinging.
Yeah, and uncommonly, you broke through in so many countries simultaneously and yet not necessarily with the same songs.
That's true. I was living in France, actually, when all that the 60s thing was happening. I wasn't living in London. I was recording in London, but I was living in Paris. And I was recording in French, making a lot of hit records in French with French songs. And then the Italians asked me to do the same, so I was singing in Italian and the Germans and a little bit in Spanish. So I have a repertoire of songs that are very varied, and that too is fun for me.
I'm one of the world's biggest fans of Dusty Springfield,
who
of course was from that era.
Yeah.
I never got to meet Dusty or even speak to her, but I've spoken to many people who've worked with her. Most people have lovely things to say about her. I know she could be difficult because I understand she was a perfectionist. What were your experiences with her?
Well, I didn't know her well. I shared a dressing room with her once.
Right.
In San Remo in Italy. And she was lovely. I think, really, the thing about Dusty is she was very shy.
Yes, yes.
A lot of us are, actually. You know, we put on this whole act of not being shy, and then we go on stage and you know, we can let loose. But basically, most of the actors I know, someone like Peter O'Toole, is desperately shy, and certainly Fred Astaire. Dusty was like that, and I think that was a bit of her demon. Well, she had other demons too, but I agree with you. She was the best. She was the best singer.
And yet, when you people come on stage, including you, it looks like you're the most confident person in the world. Perhaps because you know your craft.
Maybe. It's also that there's a feeling of privilege, too, of going out on stage. I mean, I actually love to sing, and being in front of an audience who are there to hear me sing, that's kind of great. And when things are really going well, you've got the right songs, the band is good, the sound is good, something very special can happen in a theatre. And that's what we all are hoping for each time we go on stage.
You were lucky enough to see Edith Piaf.
Oh, yes. Yes,
That must have been something.
Yes, well, it was a little odd because I had just been voted France's favourite singer and Piaf was still there, you know.
But was she miffed?
No, she wasn't. Well, if she was, she didn't show it. She was delightful. And I saw her perform, of course. I saw her on stage and that was extraordinary. Because she wasn't a beautiful woman, you know, she didn't wear flashy clothes or anything like that. She just sang with her heart and soul, and that was enough.
It's been a delight talking to you, and I hope you enjoy your stay in Australia.
I'm sure I will. Thank you so much.
Goodbye now.
Bye.